In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your $5 word for today is viniculture. You say, what is viniculture? Well, it's the art and science of raising vines, particularly grapevines, for the purpose of making wine. And so you're going to have a little lecture on viniculture here in a moment, and then I'll tell you why. I was reading not too long ago an article concerning how involved it is to start up a winery these days. And the biggest time lag is regarding the planting of the vines. Because you don't just go out and plant the vines and then that fall harvest the grapes. The ground has to be particularly prepared, and then you plant the vines, and it takes several years for them to mature enough for them to produce grapes, and even a few more years after that for them to mature enough to produce grapes good enough for wine. Now, if it is that difficult to do today, just imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago at the time of the Lord Jesus in the Holy Land. Now, you also have to remember that the Holy Land is rocky. So if you're building a vineyard in the Holy Land, the first thing you have to do is till the soil and get all the rocks out of it and prepare the soil for planting. Before you plant, you need to build some kind of barrier to keep the animals from grazing in your vineyard and stealing your grapes. So you either build a wall out of the rocks that you've taken out of the soil, or you plant a hedge. And if you plant a hedge, you have to wait for a few years for the hedge plants to grow enough that they can be transformed into a living wall. But that's not the end of it. You have to do more building. You have to build a wine press out of rock, out of stone, where you drop the grapes in, and you get in there, and you stomp on them, and the grape juice comes out, and it is put into wine skins where it will ferment and become wine. But even that's not enough. You have to build a tower because you want to keep the grape thieves away so that people don't come and steal your grapes or your wine. It's a great investment of time and treasure to build a vineyard. Now, of course, I'm not talking about viniculture just for the sake of talking about viniculture. I'm talking about it as a metaphor. Because if you were paying attention to the gospel, you know what the vineyard is. It is the house of Israel. You know who the owner of the vineyard is. It is God. And the tenants were the children of Israel. And this was true not only in our Lord's parables, but it was also true in the prophecies of the Old Testament. Whenever you hear of a vineyard in prophecy, think of the children of Israel, of the Jewish state, of the Jewish kingdom. And just as an ordinary vineyard takes a lot of effort to build it, so God spent a lot of effort building and protecting and conserving the vineyard of Israel, which is Israel. Consider the effort. Calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, brings him into Canaan. Then the descendants of Abraham go down to Egypt, where they live and prosper and eventually are made slaves. And then they are freed by the very hand of God and brought back into the promised land, where they displace the people who are already there. Now, is the vineyard theirs? No, it's not. It's God's vineyard. He is the owner, and they are tenants. And if you're a tenant, what do you have to do? You have to pay rent. Now, at the time of our Lord, you didn't usually pay money rent. What you would do if you were a tenant of a vineyard is you would give a certain portion of the grapes and the wine to the owner of the vineyard. That was the rent, and you paid it when the rent was due. Now, did the children of Israel pay the rent? No, but they didn't have to pay wine. Rather, what they had to pay was righteousness, good works, and holiness. And they didn't pay that rent either. So the Lord sent to them his servants, the prophets, to remind them, to call them to pay their rent. But at best, they ignored those who were sent to them. They mistreated some, beat others, and killed still more. Now, what will happen to those wretched people? Well, in our first reading, we hear that the Lord will remove his protection from them. He will tear down the wall around his vineyard and give it over to grazing, so that whoever wants to can just come and take whatever they want out of it. He will remove his protection. But our Lord has an even stiffer penalty in mind when he gives his parable. He lets the very people to whom the parable is addressed answer the question, what will happen to those tenants? And they say, those wretched men will be put to a wretched death. They are decreeing their own punishment. In a way, this reminds me of when the prophet Nathan went to King David after David had arranged for the killing of Uriah the Hittite so he could steal his wife, and tells the wonderful little parable about the man with his pet lamb. And at the end of that, King David is all arranged and says, as the Lord lives, that man should die. Well, that man is you, so you just pronounce punishment upon yourself. But don't you feel too sad for those who were not guilty among the children of Israel, because they were brought into the new kingdom of Israel, which is the church. Because remember, who were the first believers? Sons and daughters of Israel. And so, we have a new kingdom because it has been taken away from the original tenants and given to others who will bear fruit. So guess what? You and I are tenants. We are tenants of the Lord's vineyard. And we got to pay rent. What happens if you don't pay rent? You get evicted. You don't want to be evicted from the kingdom of God. Because that's not a pleasant thing. Because if you're evicted from the kingdom of God, where do you move into? Hell. Don't want to move into hell. So what rent do we owe? We owe the same kind of rent that the children of Israel owe. Holiness, obedience, and good works. Not based upon the law of Moses, but based upon the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just as God expended a great deal of effort to build and to maintain the vineyard which was Israel, he spent even great more effort for the vineyard which is the new Israel. Gave us his only begotten Son to suffer and die for us. Pours out his grace upon us through the sacraments. Gives us the teaching of the church. And yes, occasionally we need to be reminded to pay the rent because we forget or we ignore it. But we need to be reminded and not reject those who remind us that we need to pay the rent, that we need to turn from our sins and turn to God. Well, that's the bad news, is if you get evicted, you go to the other place. That's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is there's still time to pay the rent. Anyone here dead? Thank you. I've had two people die on me in church. It's not fun. Don't do that to me, please. Two is enough. Until you're dead, there is time to pay the rent, to go to confession, to turn from your sins, and produce that good fruit, which is our response to all the good things that God has given to us. And the wonderful thing about producing that good fruit and finding ourselves at the end of our lives in friendship with God is at that point we are no longer tenants, but we are heirs to the kingdom. And that kingdom will be ours for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.